John chapter 18, and we'll just look at a few things just real quick. So this is church part number two. And so John's gospel, I find this interesting and fun, is we're going to end up basically talking about death, burial, and resurrection around Easter time in the gospel of John, just the way it worked out. So I think that's fun. And so on Wednesday nights, when I get back, we'll do that. So in John chapter 18, there's a number of things to look at. I mean, you can look at Peter denying Jesus. You can look at when Jesus and his kingdom. But I want to look, and we're just going to start at John 18 and 1. And we're going to look at Jesus. He's always done it throughout the Gospel of John. You know, how many know he's the Son of Man and the Son of God? He's all God, he's all man. The miracles he did as a man anointed of God. But also along the way, especially in the Gospel of John, we see also the deity, the God side, the, you know, Father, Son, Holy Ghost being equal with God. And so I really love this part of this. And so we're just going to look at it. John 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth his disciples over the brook of Cedron, where the garden, and he entered in his and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. So Jesus went to his favorite place, and Judas was coming to kiss him, to let everybody know, and that's when he betrayed him. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers of the chief priests and Pharisees, come thither in the lanterns and torches and weapons. So it's the middle of the night, there's torches. A lot of people say, and you know, Dale said it, and I love Rick Renner, and so I don't know that he, I know he can make mistakes, but I just appreciate his studious things, and since he already studied it out, I don't have to. And so there's, he says about anywhere from 300 to 600 soldiers present. Okay, so remember that. So this is not like you see when there's a reenactment. When there's a reenactment, we use like 3, 4, 5. But he says there was 300 to 600 of all different types. It said, you know, I mean, so we got a band of officers from the chief priests, from the Pharisees. I mean, so they're all there. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Whom seek ye?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said unto them, "I am." He's in italics. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, "I am," they went backward and fell to the ground. As soon as he said, "I am," everybody say, "I am." "I am." They went backward and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, while they're on the ground, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you," if y'all can get up, "I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way." And so I want to talk about the great I am. Amen. I love that is the name of God, the great I am, the Almighty, the great I am. And so just briefly tonight, we're going to look at that. And so just to go back over this, you know, sometimes as I'm studying things, then after I'm done, or I go back and see what other people have said. And most people, unless they're spirit-filled, believe that the soldiers, just when they saw the innocence of Jesus, fell to their feet. But I don't think that's true, especially if you study out the words, which again, I got from Rick Renner. The word "went backwards" is A-P-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. It means to stagger and stumble backwards. The word "fell" is pepito, and it is often used to depict a person who's fell so hard it appeared that he fell dead or fell like a corpse. Case closed. And then also what's going on here that is very, very important, why did this happen? Why did he say, "I am"? Why did they? Because he could have said, "I am," and then God not released the power through him. Why was it important for them to see these 300 to 600, or even if there was 10 or 15, but I believe there was a whole lot more. I believe this is more accurate. These 300, 600, the night sky was lit up with torches. They came with their weapons to haul him away. Well, the scripture says no one could take his life. So it could never be said they rounded him up and took him. He let them know, I am, and I'm going, but I'm going voluntarily. You're not taking me. I'm going, but you're not taking me. And it's really important because they could have then said, well, you know, they come and hauled him away and he didn't really lay down his life. We took it from him and he's just a man. But he let them know who he was. He let them know that he is, I am. And the power was released and they fell down. And I just have to amuse at it again, because while they were down on the ground, he asked them again, who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? Now, they would have probably thought he would have said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. And he could have said that. But he didn't say that because he said it on purpose. The power of God was released because, again, we see, you know, his humanity and how he walked on the earth and how he was anointed of the Holy Ghost and he went about doing good. But especially here and him invoking the word of who he is, of I am, it was as he was transitioning and getting ready to go back to his eternal place. A lot of times, and it'll happen here, and it's happening now, before the rapture of the church, before the Lord comes back, sometimes when times will intermingle. And that's why I believe you're going to see more angel activity. You're going to see, everything's, I believe, is mostly set up. I'm not an end times preacher. Don't pretend to be. I just, my job is to keep you all running straight. I'll let somebody else come do that. But I am going to get into Revelation a little bit tonight, which is a little bit unusual for me. But can you see how important it was that he said, I am? Everybody say, I am. I am. And so I want you to see some other places. And that word, I am, it's E-G-O, ego, E-I-M-I. And in the King James, it's translated, I am, and they italicized the he, meaning they added that word for clarity. But really, it doesn't bring clarity. It takes away from what is there. But I want you to see this. Turn with me to John chapter 8. And it's in verse 58. We'll back up just a little bit, though. John 8:58. But here in context, Jesus in verse 51 is telling them, if you believe on him, you'll never taste death. And so this made them a little mad. So verse 52, it says, then when Jesus said unto them, now we know, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than Father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou? Oh, they open it up here, man. Who makest thou thyself? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Well, it's a famous question. Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Why is that so important? Because you need to know who he is. And he's about to tell them who he is. He said, who makest thou themselves? Who are you trying to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. If my Father has honored me, of whom you say that he is your God, you say he's your God, yet you have not known him. You say he's your God, but you don't know him. But I know him. And if I should say I know him not, then I'd be a liar. But I know him, and I keep his sayings. In other words, I know him, keep his saying. You don't know him, and you don't keep his saying, neither do you know him. Your father Abraham, see, Jesus is not always PC. A bunch of whitewashed sepulchers full of dead man bones. He wouldn't get an offering today. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. So he just, here we go again. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, you're not even 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, he threw him two truly, truly's or verily, verily. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Before Abraham was, I am. And that really ticked him off. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself. The great I am slipped off into the crowd and they couldn't see him. And when he went out through the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They challenged him and he responded. Who do you think you are? Well, I know who I am. I'm the great I am. That's why the devil and religious people get mad at you when you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you start believing the in hims and you start confessing those to people, they're like, I know you. You're not that. Well, you knew the old me. You don't know this me. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, John 13. John 13. Here's another good one. This is after he washed their feet. And he told them to wash each other's feet. Verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Just talking about Judas who was going to betray him. But he let them know it was going to happen. Why? Now I tell you before it come, that when it's come to pass, you may believe that I am. God knows. So he was showing them the deity, the God side of him, not just operating by the gifts of the Spirit, but more operating more in his all-knowing. It's just interesting how, you know, you have to look at it and see that he's reassuring them that, and I'm sure they didn't get it. People read that today and don't get it. I'm sure they didn't get it. But he was telling them, I'm telling you this because I need you to believe that you may believe that I am. And so, it reminds me, and you know this, but let's go back to Exodus. One of the most famous things that God said to Moses, whether you saw the movie or not, you know this. Exodus chapter 3. Remember, Moses was having a hard time believing that God could use him. Do you have a hard? I have a hard time still believing God can use me. I was telling somebody the other day, I don't know where we were or what we were doing, but I was explaining to them about my life and that every time I get up to minister is, you know, in my estimation, nigh on a miracle. I mean, I've gotten used to it and I've gotten used to the anointing, but, you know, I get nervous in front of people. And I still think sometimes people think because I'm up here and I do TV that I'm just this outgoing, bubbly person. That's Pastor Rhonda. I have overcome and I've gotten past my personality by faith. But a lot of times, if you see me off to myself, it's not stuck up, Pastor Mark. He just doesn't know what to say to you all the time. It's funny. God is funny. I find him funny. I find him hilarious. So one of the things that Moses is experiencing is I can't do this. And you know the account, but let's just look at it because I just want to layer all these things in here for you. And Moses said to God, verse 11, Who am I? Who are you? Who am I? Who am I that I could be used by God? Who am I that I could lay hands on the sick? Who am I that I could be blessed? Who am I that I could start my own business? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? I don't qualify. Aren't you grateful the blood of Jesus qualified you? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? That I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Who am I? God said, I'll be with you, and this shall be a token to you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you'll serve me on this mountain. So you get to come back here. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I have come to the children of Israel, and shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And when they say to me, what's his name? In other words, they're not going to believe me. They're going to remember me. I'm that one that killed the Egyptian and buried him. I'm the one that tried to lead him 40 years ago, and they said, who are you? Remember, that's what they said to him. Who are you? Who put you in charge of us? Who are you? So he's still dealing with that 40 years later. It isn't amazing what you can still be dealing with 40 years later. You got to get rid of those strongholds. And he said, what's his name? What shall I say? And he said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Who is I am? Well, you can get a clue. It's not in my notes, but you can get a clue in Psalms 90, verse 2. It says, before the mountains were brought forth, and ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. We'll jump ahead and just go to Isaiah. I don't think I wrote that down. Oh, man. That's the problem sometimes when I do three sets of sermons till I get to my notebook. Isaiah, Lord help me. Isaiah talks about God is saying to them, if there be a God, I know not one. If there be any other God, I don't know him. In other words, I am. I'm the only one that's ever been, and I'm the only one that ever will be. And if there's any other God, you can all speak up, but there isn't any. He said, I know not one. Who is he? He's the I am. In other words, he's from eternity past to eternity future. He's the one and the only God, and he's your Father. He is the Almighty God, and he is the great I am. Everybody say, I am. Thank God for the great I am. I said, thank God for the great I am. Amen. The great I am. I mean, but there's just nobody else like him. And he's your Father. And he wants you to know. I mean, why is it important for you to know that? Why is it important for you to know that there's nobody else like him? He's the first. He's the last. Amen. I said he's the first and he's the last. Isaiah 43:10. I knew if I kept talking, I could find it. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord. Besides me there is no Savior. Verse 13, yea, before the day was, I am. And there is none that can deliver you out of my hand. Verse 40, chapter 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and besides me, there is no God. And who, as I shall call and shall declare it and set in order, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, don't be afraid. Have not I told you from that time and have declared it? You are even my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? I love this part. Yea, there is no God, I know not any. He's just sassy sometimes. Amen. And that's your Father. What is the importance of this? He's from everlasting to everlasting. He is the Almighty God. There was none before him. There'll never be any after him. There's no one like him. The devil, who people call opposite of God, he is not opposite of God. God has no opposite because God stands alone. The devil does opposite things of God, but the devil is not opposite in power of God because God has no opposite. There is no one like him. He stands in a class all of his own. The devil was a created being who went bad. He tried to be equal with God, but because with a finger, God kicked him out of heaven. There is no one like your Father. There is no one like the Almighty. And that's what Jesus was trying to put into them again. I need you to know everything I've shown you is because my Father and now your Father is the great I am. He's the great I am. Now, just quickly, let's run through these just for time's sake. There are some other places in the Gospel of John we've been studying that Jesus let them know who he was as the I am. I'll just give you these, and if you're taking notes, you can write these down. He said, number one, he said, I am the bread of life. John chapter 6, verse 35, 41, 48, 51. I am, everybody say, he is the bread of life. Amen. That means he'll sustain you. He'll just take care of you. He said, I am the light of the world. John 8, 12. I am the door of the sheep. There's no other way in because he is the door. John 10, verses 7 and 9. I am the good shepherd. Chapter 10, verses 11 and 14. I am the resurrection and the life. John 11, 25. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14 and 6. I am the true vine. John 15, 1 through 5. So those, if we had time, I mean, you could look at each one of those for about an hour and just look at those. But those seven, just in the Gospel of John, is he was showing who he was as deity. He was showing, this is what I am for you. Who do you say I am? Well, I say you're the bread of life. Who do you say I am? I say you're the light of the world. Who do you say I am? I say you're the way, the truth, and the life. Who do you say I am? You're the door. You're the door. You're the good shepherd. You're the door to my green pastures. Hallelujah. He's the entryway into the kingdom of God. He's the entryway. He is the door. Amen. So that's what he is. And just to remind you, let's look at Colossians chapter 1. He is those things. But let's finish up tonight by going back to looking at, because Jesus, after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, was going back to being. He's forever in a body, but he held a place before he came to the earth. And so Colossians 1:17, the New Living Translation, says this. He existed before anything else. And he holds all creation together. Everything that was made by him. When he came across the fig tree and it wasn't producing fruit, that's why he cursed it. When the wind and the waves come up, that's why he rebuked them. He created all things and for all things, I mean, for his pleasure. He created everything. Jesus, the I am, your Savior, your elder brother, your Lord, who always has been, who always will be, who now sits at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for you. He's on your side. He's not against you. He's for you. And he wants you to know tonight that he is the great I am. And the great I am can get you out of any mess. I've heard people say, I used to hear Brother Hagin say this, and you know, I haven't studied up on this to know it's truth, but if he said it, it's got to be mostly truth then anyway, right? Some of you know him. He said, I am means if I don't have it, I'll go make it for you. What is it? He's God. Besides him, there is no other. He can do it. Revelations 1:8. So now Jesus has been raised from the dead. And so I want you to see some of the first things he says to John the Revelator. Because remember, right before he left, when they came to get him, he said, who do you seek? He said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. Everybody say, I am. And when he said, I am, what happened? Power of God was released. They fell down. While they were down, he said, I ask you who you're coming for. And he said, I told you, I am. I don't know if he pinned him to the ground again. I don't know what happened. But then all throughout the Gospel of John, we're seeing, and it's interesting, through the Gospel of John, we see Jesus, we see revelation of who Jesus said he was. I am the resurrection and life. I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the door. And so here, the first thing he says to John in Revelations 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is and was, which was and is to come, the Almighty. Just, okay, so John sees him and he's heard and all the I ams, he knows them. And the first thing Jesus says to him is, okay, I want to tell you this one. I'm Alpha. I'm Omega. He's resurrected and he appears to him and says, I'm the beginning. I'm the ending. Said the Lord. And so he had this, which was and is to come, the Almighty. Amen. He's seeing him as the resurrected Savior, as who he's always been, God. Besides him, there is no one. I don't know of any. When you invoke the name of Jesus, the Almighty, the great I Am, stands behind that name. Because he is that name. It can't fail because I am. Is that name? I said, yeah, I know that, Pastor. No, I want you to know that. Okay. Let's just read some of these for fun. Revelations 1:11. He said again, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And when what thou seest, write in the book. So he told him what to do. And then Revelations 1:17. And when he saw him, when I saw him, listen to this. And when I saw him, who's he seeing right now? The I am. He's seeing God, Jesus as God. And when I saw him, I did what? I fell at his feet as, sound like what happened to somebody else. People ask all the time, well, why do people fall down? Some people give courtesy falls. I know. Well, you shouldn't have any ushers, because if it's God, you know, they won't get hurt. Yeah, but it's not all God, so, you know, we got to help, you know. Sometimes it's mostly God, and sometimes it's not God at all. I remember one time when I first came in to the church, I was at a camp meeting, and Fred Price was up ministering. And there's this lady there, and he went to lay hands on her, and she turned to look. And I don't know if you know him, he just stopped and laughed. Laid hands on her, and she looked again and fell out. Then he laughed again and moved on. I mean, you know. But the power of God is real. I've been in meetings where nobody laid hands on people and whole sections fall out. I've been in meetings myself when I've been doing them, in Chile especially, when I was up and I waved my hand and people took off dancing and then half of them fell out. What is that? That's the glory. That's the presence of God. It's very real. And I know that some people don't believe it's real. I think it's fun for me sometimes when I'm getting ready to lay hands on people. You know, some people come to the saturation meeting just to see what's going on around here. And so I get to people sometimes, and I know they don't believe in the power of God. And so what I do, because I'm just like any other preacher, sometimes I can get a little heavy-handed. Don't raise your hand or say amen. I can get a little excited, get heavy-handed myself, you know. But a lot of times when as I'm being really sensitive, when I sense that in someone, man or woman, I'll grab their hands. So they know that when they crumble like a sack of potatoes, I didn't have anything to do with it. And then they get up and look at me, and I'm like, mm-hmm. That's my God. What does he do that for? Well, it's just really yielding to the power of God. But why do you do it with them? I mean, are you grateful he's real? Now, you can learn to receive the power of God, but if you need healing, if you don't mix your faith with it, you'll just fallen down. You still got to learn to mix your faith with it. So let's get back to this. Let's look at it real close. 17, fear not. Okay, and when he saw him, fell at his feet dead. He laid his right hand on me, saying to me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Revelations 21:6. And he said unto me, it is done. And he said unto me, it's all over. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst a fountain of water of life for free. Amen. And then Revelation 22, 13 just sums it up one more time. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Why is that throughout? The impression you and I are supposed to get as we read Revelation is as Jesus as the resurrected Savior, as his position of all God. I always have been. I always will be. I'm at the first of everything, and I'm at the end of everything. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Why? Because he's the great I am. He who began a good work in you will complete it till the day of Christ Jesus. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He didn't just start you out on this journey. He wants you to finish it with, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. Let's revisit this. Revelations 19, 13. Let's go back. So here he is, and he talking about Jesus, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Who is the great I am? He's the Word. Who is the great I am? He's the Word. He's the Word. John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jesus always had, he was always the Word. And he was always God. He said, yeah, Pastor, I know that. No, I want you to get back to really knowing that. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. But the Word was God. 1 John 5 and 7. Have you noticed these are all John's stuff? And there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And I love to hear Reverend Opal talk about this. She loves to talk about this. They work together. They work in unison, but they're one. There's three in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. All right? And so, yeah, I know you know all that. But then today I was sitting thinking, I don't even know if I was thinking about this anymore. And the Lord said, then what about Isaiah 55:11? Like, oh, what about it? So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. Jesus, the Word of God, came to the earth. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And he was sent on assignment to redeem all of mankind and to provide everything that man would ever need, spiritually, in his soul, and in his body. A complete work, a complete redemption. And he said, it shall not return unto me void. So when Jesus, the Word, who made everything, when he got up out of hell, and he put his blood on the mercy seat. He sat back down as a papanihashana oke na brata. Woo! He sat back down as the Word of God. He sat back down as the Word of God. Because he is the great I am. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior. But he's the I am. And I really would like, you know, when you got Revelation, you're trying to shove it into somebody. But I really want you to meditate on this, because when you look at him as that, and you know he's in you, and you know he's for you, and the word that's been given to you, that's been written down, I mean, then you can esteem it even, I know you esteem it already, but then you esteem it even higher, because this is the I am talking to me. This word is the I am. This word is the finish. It's the Alpha. It's the Omega. It's the beginning. It's the end. It's just not word written down. This is God. This is God himself. And this word will manifest itself. It did not return unto me void. But it accomplished that which I pleased. And it prospered in the thing whereunto I sent it. That's Jesus, who was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There was three in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And now he's got a vesture dipped in blood. The blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins. The blood that cleanses us. The blood that washes us clean. The blood that protects us. The blood that was put in the Holy of Holies on the mercy seat. That blood, he's dipped in that vesture was dipped in that blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And that Word, who he is, will never fail you. If you'll speak that double-edged sword, let it come out of your mouth like a double-edged sword. It'll prevail in what you send it to do. And I'll just have to, I'll throw this in because the Lord was kind of messing with me a little, rebuking me a little bit today. Because I felt like, I said to him, I feel so alone. I feel like I'm in a desert. He said, well, Jesus went to a desert and you're not doing what he did. Thank you. What did he do? He used the Word. And then he came out in the power of the Holy Ghost. Think about that one a minute. Sometimes we get all mad when we have all this stuff against us, but if we'll do what the Word says, we'll come out in the power of the Holy Ghost. Your test will turn into a testimony, and the devil will be glad that he messed. He'll be sad that he messed with you because you'd be all bold. He'll walk away mad. Yeah. You gotta speak the Word. You gotta speak the Word. That double-edged sword. That word is distamos. It means two mouth. A mouth from heaven spoke it. And then when your mouth speaks it, it becomes a double-edged sword. Two mouth. Something about that name. The name of Jesus, because of all that it represents. He's the Word, and his word the Word always accomplishes. It always accomplishes what it's sent to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Sermon number two, done. At 8:30. You just had two banquet bouquet full up, better than a cruise ship. You know them cruise ships, they feed you. Shoo-wee. I was glad to get off there. Trying to give me chocolate every night on my pillow. We fought over the milk versus the dark, though. I'm just messing with you a minute. I want to make sure I'm done. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and thank God for everything that he's done tonight. Father, we magnify you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for everything that you've done tonight. Holy Ghost, I'm so very, very appreciative of you. I love you. I honor you. Thank you, Father, for everything. Hallelujah. You are the great I am. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and do it. Can I have the worship team? You guys got a couple minutes, don't you? And I had this on my heart, and I forgot it, and then I prayed, and then it came back. Hallelujah.